Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 20th, 2016. With me today, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Good, man.
Awesome. Awesome. Glad to have you here. And Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm splendid. I'm Sierra-fied today is what I am.
Yes, I am halfway Sierra-fied.
Okay.
I have Sierra on my MacBook Air, but I haven't had time to put it on my MacBook Pro, which is my recording machine, yet. So, but soon, very, very soon.
Yeah. Cool. I put it, and actually, now that I think about it, this is a departure. I put it on my iMac here in the office. I've got a Retina iMac here in the office that I put Sierra on last night. I grabbed the second, I believe, developer Golden Master.
Yep.
that I put on here just so that I'd be ready for these types of discussions today. I've been running it on my MacBook Air for a little while now, just to get some experience with it, but I wanted to kind of go through this. And I did it from remote, or at least I started it from remote, using screen sharing from another computer, because you can't really, there's not a whole lot to do when, you know, you're there. So it's better to do it when you're at a different computer.
Sure.
And I started the process, and then I lost access to my computer and had to come back over here to the office to sign into iCloud, I believe. And then it, you know, it asked me to do a couple of things and then started up the remote access daemon again, and or daemon, if we want to have that holy war here. And then I was able to remote back in later, and everything was fine. But I was not able to do a full remote management of the installation this time. And now that I think about it, that is very different from what I experienced with El Capitan, because I remember doing El Capitan last year from my iPad in my doctor's office while waiting to get the results of the x-ray on what we believe might have been my broken wrist. And so I did it, you know, over VPN from remote, and did the whole thing that way, and it worked.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, you lose access for a time because it brings the machine offline to update the OS.
Of course.
But then it came back around for me with El Cap in a way that Sierra did not. There was nothing wrong per se. It was just a different experience. So I guess without thinking about it, I seem to have a habit of wanting to upgrade from remote, but it's because I'm impatient.
That totally makes sense. Why would you want to sit in front of your computer watching a progress bar for 20 minutes or an hour or whatever it's going to take for that computer when you could be doing something else?
The only reason would be if you, A, do what we do for a living here, so I'm not following my own advice, or B, help other people with their installations in another way. Maybe you're a consultant or you know, work in IT or some environment like that, where having the experience of watching what is normal helps you when you're dealing with something that's abnormal. So I have no idea what a normal Sierra installation looks like all the way through. I've seen pieces of it, but I have not seen the whole thing.
You haven't missed anything.
Thanks.
I was able to watch it on my MacBook Air because, you know, I didn't need to work on it while I was working on my main computer.
Sure.
So I could just sit here and watch it while I was doing other things. And it was just the, you know, the boring gray screen with the black progress bar and telling me it was going to be 23 minutes or whatever. And then later on it reboots and I have a login screen. That was it.
Okay. So it's single reboot is normal, more than one reboot, and you should start paying attention. Is that a fair piece of advice for folks that are doing this today?
I think so. As I recall, I had one reboot.
Cool.
So yeah. And it was a non-event doing the upgrade on my MacBook Air.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, everyone, today is the 20th. This is the day that Apple is releasing macOS Sierra. So farewell, macOS 10. It's now macOS.
No. Farewell
OS 10.
OS 10. See, so many names.
We said farewell to macOS 10 a while ago.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So, still miss it. Anyhow. So now we're Mac OS. The 10 is gone, and it's
so
here.
Is the capital M.
Yeah.
It was gone too.
That surprised me. I don't want to rehash it all, but that I thought they would. I know why they did it. Because tvOS and iOS, and watchOS, but with the Mac being, I guess the watch is the Apple Watch, capital W.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
so it's consistent. It's funked up. How do we say that here on the show? I forget.
Yeah.
It's not good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's right. They funked up their jam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking right. of funked up jam, mm-hmm. How about the Scan Snap Tascam ongoing shenanigans?
Tell us about at least one part of that, Brian.
Fujitsu, mm-hmm. who has done a very good job of supporting the Mac on the scanner side.
They are like, you know, not the only game in town, but you know they're more than. Yeah, they more than beat the two-thirds rule, right? Where two-thirds of the market is owned by one, you know, the one major player kind of thing. I think it's more like, you know, 90% and two-thirds of the market is owned by ScanSnap. If you want paperless on the Mac, that's where you're at, or even on iOS.
And they put out a notification to users warning them not to upgrade to Sierra because there's a problem. There's a problem with Sierra, and that problem is that, and I'm quoting, some pages of the PDF files that have been generated with ScanSnap applications may become blank pages when they are edited or converted to searchable PDF files on the Mac OS Sierra.
So, is this a problem with Sierra, or is this a problem with the ScanSnap software that becomes apparent in Sierra?
Well, it's Fujitsu is saying that it's in. Sorry about the noise. It's an issue with the PDF rendering engine inside Sierra. Whether or not that makes it a problem with Sierra or a problem with SnapScan, ScanSnap probably remains to be seen.
Yeah. Well, and in the end,
it's just a compatibility issue, right? I mean, yeah. Although I guess your point is well taken, Brian, because
there could be a bug.
There could be a bug that might affect things other than ScanSnap. That's
right.
That's
right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. We don't know yet.
Right. Right. And I noticed this morning, with no great surprise, that Tascam, the maker of many things audio, including USB audio breakout boxes and such, announced a week ago that they do not advise people to update to Sierra. I mean, they said this in a weird way on their Facebook page. They said, notice, this was on September 14th. Notice, Mac OS iOS 10 has been released today, and we are now preparing to test our family of audio interfaces on this new OS. As always, you should verify that all components of your desktop audio production system are compatible with updated operating systems. And they go on to list the products that they know are incompatible, and others might be too. So in addition to not really understanding the names of the products that we're talking about, or even the products, because iOS 10 was released last week, but not Mac OS, which is weird.
Yeah.
But this is par for the course for them. This happens every year that there is an OS update, which now is every year. And users have to wait usually 3 months for even a very rough, you know, officially unsupported beta to come out. And then sometimes that beta is updated to a more official status. And sometimes it's not. It's just you just run the beta and that's your life.
To be fair, this whole yearly thing has just been sprung on them.
Right. Right. Well, so someone asked them why they don't test this stuff with the development versions of the software. And their response was, it comes down to the availability of preview copies of the various operating systems.
Well, there you go, Dave. I mean, it's not like anyone has had early access to Mac OS Sierra.
Well, not just anyone.
No, not just anyone. It's frustrating. And you know, but here's the deal. I bought the Tascam product, and so I should expect this, because for me, Tascam falls into the category of cheap and worth it.
So with the cheap and worth it, part of the price that you pay is that you will be stuck, if you need to use their breakout box on your computer, not upgrading to Sierra for a couple months probably.
Yeah. And it's I always hold back on updating the machine in the studio. I have an iMac in the studio that I do most of my podcasts with. This podcast I'm actually on Sierra in my office, but where I do Mac Geek Gab usually is up in the studio. And I always leave that machine on the older OS for a couple of months anyway, regardless of this Tascam thing. Although, as it turns out, that's the same computer that would use this Tascam box. Because audio, you know, hardware quirks, changes, things that might not be overly obvious can, you know, wreak havoc on a podcast workflow. So I always hold off for a couple of months anyway, and now I'm sort of forced to do so. Or I should just buy a 16 channel audio input box from someone else.
That's always an option too.
Yeah,
and to Fujitsu's credit, they reached out to us and said that this is an issue that is the highest priority for them, and it didn't seem like that was, you know, that could just be PR speak, but didn't seem like it was PR speak. They have posted a follow-up announcement saying that they're working on the solution. It does seem like at least that Fujitsu does take this seriously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. No.
Right. It doesn't sound like Tascam's taking it seriously.
No. No, it sure doesn't.
No, and my guess is for Fujitsu, they were not expecting to have any weird problems. You know, because we're talking about PDF, which is right. An open standard, and my guess is that when they actually discovered the problem, they had a moment where engineers stood around going, well, crap.
And to that point, we've had readers post on that article that they've had no problems with developer previews of Sierra with their PDFs and ScanSnap. So this may be what this could easily be something that they aren't just discovering because they've been slacking, but because maybe it's a rare situation and they're doing a CYA where they're just saying, don't upgrade to Sierra, you know, if you use our stuff.
Well, considering, right?
You follow me there?
Yeah, that makes sense. And considering how many people rely on ScanSnap for their paperless office and paperless life, having a problem like this where they could suddenly just lose all that information but still have files, that's a problem. So
right.
I wouldn't blame them for just making a blanket statement and saying, hey, look, just don't upgrade, even if they know that it's a small percentage of users that are having a problem. And we don't know how many users are having a problem. Yeah, Tascam, on the other hand, well, Dave, at least they're consistent.
They are consistent. Yeah, this was no great surprise, but obviously it's good for users to know, because you might not know, as I didn't the first time. I just kind of assumed, you know, because I give the podcast machine a couple of months as a matter of course, and it's not just because it's the podcast machine. Lisa also uses that to do all the work that she does for us. And so I don't want to put anyone in this scenario, myself included, where they need to get work done and can't because there's some weird incompatibility. But because I waited a few months, I didn't used to worry about driver availability. I assumed that by then everything was out. So, you know, that's how it goes. But yeah. One piece of advice I want to give to everyone, regardless yes. of what software you use, is before you update to Sierra, go ahead and reboot your Mac in El Capitan or whatever OS you're using. Many pieces of software will only alert you to updates when they launch. And by rebooting, all those little menu bar items that you have and all that stuff are forced, of course, to relaunch. And by doing so, they check for their updates and tell you if there's one available. Otherwise, you may not know, and you might go to install Sierra and get it installed only to find out that you need an update for, you know, Bartender or something else that lives in your menu bar. But now, because it can't launch the old version, you're stuck going to the website, manually downloading and installing the update. Whereas if you had done it prior, it would just happen kind of in that automatic update process. So I highly recommend launching all your apps. And this is especially true for Carbon Copy Cloner users, in specifically those of us that use it as a background scheduled task. It launches every day or however often you tell it to launch via the schedule, but the UI does not. So if there is an update, you won't know. And perhaps this is a bit of a flaw in Carbon Copy Cloner. If it's launching, it should alert you somehow that there's an update. But it doesn't. So, and there is a specific update for Sierra. So it's worth just manually launching that. And then up it'll come, and there you go.
I did that very thing this morning just to make sure that I had Carbon Copy Cloner up to date.
Yep.
And the Bartender issue that you mentioned, I had to deal with that on my MacBook Air because there was no Sierra update for a long time. But it's out now.
With the betas, correct. Yeah.
Right. Yep. But it's out now. And so on my MacBook Air, I had to go and manually download the app and reinstall it. And then I was fine. On my main machine, not a problem, because the last time I rebooted, I got the dialogue saying, hey, there's an update.
Right.
And so it just did it.
Yep. So, yeah, doing just a reboot. And, you know, that's not a bad thing to do anyway, with any hardware that you've got. If there's a major update that you're doing and the device hasn't been rebooted in a little while, go ahead and reboot. If there are any problems with your system that have nothing to do with the update, it's good to go ahead and take care of those, or at least be aware of those before you go and plow an update onto it. And you may not know. I've had this problem with routers and other things in the past where I'll go and do an update and it won't boot back up. It's like, okay, well, would it have booted if I just simply restarted it? You know, it's been 3 months or whatever it's been.
You don't know.
You don't know, and now it makes it that much harder to troubleshoot. Like, am I troubleshooting a problem with the update, or am I troubleshooting something completely unrelated? And that can get very confusing very, very quickly. So, quick reboot, and plus that clears out RAM and, you know, flushes any caches that you might have and resets your virtual memory and all that good stuff. That's not a bad thing to do before you embark on a major OS update either.
Right, and making sure that you've backed up all of your important data before you do the update is a good idea too, because you're probably not going to have a problem, but if you do and you don't have a backup, you now have a really big problem.
I venture to say, Jeff, that the chances of you having a problem with the update are increased exponentially if you don't back up first.
I think that's a really good rule of thumb.
I keep Murphy in my favorites on iOS, you know, my phone favorites there. So,
yeah.
Know. Yeah.
All right. So my backup routine includes Carbon Copy Cloner, Time Machine, Dolly Drive, Crash Plan. And what's the other thing that I'm using? Backup from Frosoft. So hopefully I've got myself covered in case something goes wrong.
Have you taken your floppies down to the bank?
No, but Dr. Mac is swinging by later today to pick them up for me. Yeah. Hey, we are pretty much out of time. But before we wrap up, we just have to let everyone know, hey, there's another important update out, and that's ProDOS 2.4. ProDOS 8 version 2.4. Is that the update?
Yeah, for the Apple II and the 2GS. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, if you need that, it's out there, and it adds some really nice features, especially for the 2GS, which is great, because that's quite a powerful and flexible machine.
Is someone going to let Tascam know?
Well played, man. Yeah.
Because they may need to get their hands on it.
Well, you know, you have to wait for software availability, so it makes sense. Yeah, Get that message onto them, Dave, please.
So why is Apple releasing this?
It's not Apple. It's a group of enterprising, maybe not enterprising, enthusiastic developers.
There we go.
Yeah, it might not be a group. It might just be one, but I think it's more than one.
There's two people credited, actually.
Okay,
John Brooke and someone else is credited. Okay, on the,
that qualifies as a group.
Yeah,
and I think this is so cool that they've done this, and that, I mean, that there are still people that are using these 30-year-old antiquated machines. More than 30 years old in some cases. 2GS is 30 years old.
Yeah, but people love them. And I get why. There's a special place in my heart for my Apple 2GS.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was a tough call when I went to buy that. I mean, do I buy a Mac or do I buy a 2GS? And ultimately, the 2GS made more sense because it let me do a lot more. It was a much more open platform. I could still run all the 2E stuff that I had. I could put the CPM card in that I had in my Franklin Ace 1000. So I was running stuff for the native for the GS, stuff for the Apple 2E, and CPM stuff all at the same time. It was a beautiful thing. I miss my GS.
The P Ferry is also credited. I don't know what the P stands for.
Sure.
And sorry about the construction noise. Didn't have any construction for the
if you
entire
if
week.
You
was
weren't
off.
To talk about it, I don't think anybody would know.
Oh
there now I hear it.
Now maybe they would.
Yeah, now they would. But up until this very moment now.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, but hey, you know, at least everyone knows that we're getting the sound studios remodeled. So there's that. And hey, we're out of time. So, Brian, thank you for being here.
Good to be here. Thanks.
And and Dave, thank you for being here too.
Yeah, totally my pleasure. Fun one.
Yes. Yes.
Good luck with Sierra, folks. I don't know. This is about 10 of 1 p.m. Eastern. It doesn't appear that Sierra is out, at least checking on the one computer that I won't be upgrading, the iMac in the studio. It does not show up there yet, but I would guess that by the time this show is published, it's going to be out. So.
Yeah, I think so, too. And Nightshade, she's back behind me agreeing. So
thanks,
listen.
Nightshade.
Yeah. Hey, Nightshade. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.